Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment, our relationships with it, and impacts upon it. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us on the phone is Lauren Locke. She is the owner and proprietor of Sage Mountain. Sage Mountain is a nonprofit that provides educational programming and advocacy and sanctuary for farmed animals. So Lauren, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, what we wanted to do is talk with you about a letter that you have submitted to this Salt Lake Tribune that talks about, in general terms, the relationship between meat industry, wild animals as a source of meat, domesticated animals as a source of meat, and the growing number of viruses that we are seeing coming out of either the jungle or out of the meat industry. So why don't you take it from there and give us a summary of what some of the points are in your letter?
Yes, of course. Well, I first want to say that I hope everyone's doing well out there and staying healthy and safe and getting outdoors to on these beautiful days that we're having here. But yeah, so in my letter, I touch on, you know, the idea that in order to fix any problem and most importantly prevent it from happening again, we have to look at the cause of some of these viruses. And these viruses are zoonotic viruses, which are viruses that can be transferred, you know, from animals to humans and then mm-hmm. human to human. And we've seen these in the past, but with, you know, Ebola and SARS, which I believe came from bats and talking about wild animals. And then mm-hmm. The H1N1, which we've had a few strands of, the Spanish, which was the deadliest one, mm-hmm. I believe was from poultry. And then the second case from which was the swine flu, which is from pigs.
Right.
H7N9, bird flu from poultry. We have cowpox. We have mad cow disease. So a lot of these viruses, you know, have come from these animals. And in the case with COVID-19, this current, you know, pandemic that we're dealing with was from a meat market, which was strongly suggested from exotic animals called pangolins. Now, it's not a definite, but that's
right.
What's been strongly suggested. And these markets are, you know, you can purchase dead or live animals. And so, you know, making these connections here in the U.S., I think it's, you know, easy to kind of blame what's going on, you know, say in China right now. But, you know, these conditions are no different from some of the conditions we have, which can be breeding grounds for these cross-contamination. You know, the Centers for Disease Control Prevention even states that 3 out of 4 of these new or emerging diseases in people come from animals. And mm-hmm. so I think at the end of the day, the repercussions of our wow. worldwide desire to eat animal products is being reflected, you know, through these pandemics, through ill health. We can't forget about cancer, heart disease, right. diabetes, and even through climate change, you know, our house is on fire right now. We can't forget that, you know, right. and so I think that that's pretty much what I state in the letter. And then I also talk about how we have this opportunity in this tragedy to look at, you know, to look at ourselves, to look at our behavior and our choices, and we can either continue with this Band-Aid solution until another virus shows up, or really work on healing this wound from the inside and choosing more of a healthy, sustainable, plant-rich lifestyle and be, you know, more connected to what's going on, because what's happening at one side of the world deeply impacts all of us as we're seeing.
Right.
And so I have hope, and so that's kind of it in a nutshell. So sorry, I kind of went off there for a little while.
No,
that's good information.
That's good. That's good.
And I think I think it is surprising, like you said, you know, with 75% of these emerging diseases coming, being zoonotic diseases, coming from, you know, animals, it's something that we really should highlight and focus on a little bit and think about what can we do to keep this from happening again.
Right.
I also think, you know, I love how you just mentioned that, you know, it kind of impacts, it impacts everybody all over the place. It's not isolated. I've read here that zoonotic diseases have quadrupled in the last 50 years and that mostly happens in tropical regions. But then, of course, it affects the entire world. We're a global society now. We're flying and driving and
getting our food from.
Right. Getting our food from, getting our supplies from these other places. And so how do we stop these things? That may be impossible. But if we can look at the source, maybe we can have a bigger impact there.
Right. And so, and change our behavior from that. That
right,
is the start.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Lauren.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I mean, even look at what's happened so far. Chris, I was talking to you about this the other day, is that, you know, these places, we're already seeing some pollution clearing out in China and Italy and India just through, you know, cutting back, even though it was forced, but cutting back on, you know, our transportation. We're seeing, you know, more wildlife coming down, you know, in places like San Francisco and even in Park City. I've heard people seeing more wildlife around. And just the other day I saw, you know, 50 to 75 elk cross the road right in front of me. And I believe that nature really wants to balance out again. And I think that, you know, in my mind, it's like, I almost feel like Mother Earth is being like, all right, you guys, let's go to your rooms. Let's just take some time to reflect here a little bit and realize that we really do have an impact. And I think that that's the opportunity in this, is to realize the impact we have as a world, you know. And I don't think we're going to solve this country by country. I think we have to look at it as an entire world and what we can do, just in our daily, you know, our daily choices and living in a more, you know, more sustainably, more compassionate way, because there are so many of us, you know, that do call this planet home. And so I think that that's the opportunity in this situation, even though I know it's tough in a lot of ways. Yeah.
So, Lauren, as you look specifically at sort of the zoonotic diseases and that part of the food system, what are the changes that you would like to see or that you envision would be possible that would help to kind of prevent these diseases moving forward?
I think that, you know, I mean, obviously my first choice is that everyone goes vegan today.
You know, I know if that's not yesterday.
So I go, I go that's through that with an understanding that that may not be possible, even though I think it is becoming more possible to choose more sustainable local foods, but more on the veggie and fruit side, you know, to eat. You know, when we think about our food and we think about, like I mentioned before, the diseases that come from eating animal products, such as cancer, heart disease, and diabetes, I'm hoping that even this virus that we're going through influences people to eat more healthy, more from the ground, per se. And then I know just for me and just in my experience, you know, eating more of those foods, eating more plant-rich foods, even as I've gotten older, I feel like I've become healthier, I've become stronger, and I feel like just as humanity that we can, as humans, we can feel more empowered in that way just through the foods we're eating. And my hope is that as the, you know, these different plant-centered even businesses such as Beyond Meat and things, even though they may not be like the healthiest vegan foods, they're starting to gain a little bit more traction, and as people are seeing, you know, the impact of the animal agriculture industry just on our, you know, our current pandemic right now, as far as health goes. And then also, you know, in terms of climate change, you know, 37% of land is used for grazing animals. 87% of human-made greenhouse gas emissions comes from animal agriculture. And I think that's becoming more in the forefront, you know, of our minds here. And so my hope is that, you know, that people are realizing this and realizing the impact we have. And I think a great example is just the pollution, air and water clearing out, you know, and how we can, you know, just in 2 weeks make a huge difference in that. So,
right. And we actually, may cover some of the examples of that in our news items, Lauren.
So
thank you for that unsolicited segue. If there is a website that people can go to learn more about your work and Sage Mountain.
Yes, we're actually in the middle of switching over to a new website, a new carrier. So you can still go to sagemountain.org. It's some pretty old stuff on there, but our goal is to create a new website with more current information. And then also this summer, we're planning on having yoga out there, you know, depending on how this all goes, starting in June.
Right.
So keep your eyes open for that, to come out and visit the animals and learn more about what we do. That's it.
Perfect. Yeah. Lauren Locke with Sage Mountain. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with
share
with us. And you know what? We will be in touch to get an update.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Nell. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Lauren. Thanks again for joining us. And remember, this is KPCW 91.7 FM Park City.
Tune in and listen like a local.
That's right.